Hi.
Welcome to the Hypnodojo, a place of learning for practitioners and students of hypnotherapy. Get your black belt in all things hypnotherapy as we whip into shape your mindset, mastery, and marketing. Relax, enjoy, learn. Here's your sensei, Linda Campbell.
Boom, boom, akalaka, boom, 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 akalaka, boom, 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 boom.
Hey, and welcome to the Hypnodojo. Now, people often ask me about how I got into hypnosis, and hey, you're listening to this podcast, so maybe you'd like to know a little bit about the person you're listening to. Now, it's weird to be focusing on myself because the work that I do with clients is always about focusing on the client, figuring out how the client came to be the person they are, figuring out how events in their lives have shaped them, figuring out their patterns, their beliefs, even what kind of language is going to work better for them in hypnosis. I always caution my students to keep themselves out of it. It's not about their opinions or their ideas or their values or their preferences. It's all about the client. So this is going to be a very, very rare podcast where I'm actually talking about myself. Well, actually, that's not true. There will be times where I use personal stories in the podcast. But really, my podcast, just like working with my clients, is going to be focused on what can I give to you? What is it that you most need and want from me? All right, my hypnosis story. I often say that I feel like my story isn't a very good story. Most of the people who come to take my training have been hypnotized, or they know somebody who has, or at least they were familiar with hypnotherapy. I knew absolutely nothing about it. I say that I got into hypnosis because of two moments of divine intervention. It was 1997 or 1998, and I hated what I was doing for a living. At the time, I had two jobs. I was a teacher. I'd been trained as an elementary school teacher, but because I have a background and training in theater, I got hired right out of university to teach high school drama. I did that for a few years, and then I got bumped out of my cushy position by somebody with more seniority. So I was working as a teacher on call at the time, a substitute teacher. It was fine, but not really what I wanted to do when I grew up. I also had a job at a hospital cleaning beds. Now, this was a job that I took when I was in university to make a little bit of extra spending money. And I was kind of weirded out because they were planning my 10-year T. I felt like I was a lifer. I had only intended to be there for a short period of time, but I was going on 10 years. And I absolutely hated that job. Now, I hope I'm not offensive to anybody who's working in this profession, but it just wasn't for me. I felt like people looked down on me, although now looking back, that was probably just my own projection, because I just felt I wasn't using any of my skills in that job at all. And so one night when I was at the hospital, out of the blue, I had this thought that maybe I should quit my job and figure out what I did want to be when I grew up. That was the first moment of divine intervention. I called my husband at the time and asked him how he felt about me giving up my job. Thankfully, he was a good guy and he said, do whatever it is you feel you need to do. And so I wrote out my resignation on a piece of paper that I took out of somebody's office and slid it under my supervisor's desk. And I walked out of my job that Saturday night just walking on air. I felt absolutely high and excited about my future. And then I talked to my mom. My mom's very practical. She said to me, don't you think you better figure out what you want to do before you quit your job? And I thought, ah, darn it, she's right. I had only given 2 weeks' notice, so the next day I went back to the hospital and talked to my supervisor. I asked if I could withdraw my resignation, thinking maybe I'll take a bit more time to figure this out and then put my resignation in. Much to my surprise, my supervisor told me that they'd already processed my resignation. Now understand, I had walked out of the hospital after giving in my resignation at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, and it was 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon when I asked my boss if I could withdraw my resignation. Somehow they had managed to process my resignation between 11 o'clock on Saturday and 3 o'clock on Sunday. And this is an organization that would take 3 months to process your vacation pay. So I was a little bit stunned. I walked around for the first part of my shift wondering what I should do. Maybe I could find something in our handbook and I could grieve it. Or maybe I could go back to my boss and cry to him, see if I could tug on his heartstrings a little bit. Or maybe I could start all over with no seniority and work my way back up. Or maybe I could just assume that this was the universe saying, you don't belong here, move on, go somewhere else. Maybe this was kind of the powers that be kicking the baby bird out of the nest. And so I decided that I was just going to take a leap, that I was going to assume I wasn't meant to be at the hospital, I knew I didn't like it, and figure out what I wanted to do next. So for a while, I just studied everything that got my attention. I read tarot cards for a little while. I studied herbalism. Now, it's interesting because I moved recently, and when I was packing, I came across a journal that I was writing at that time. And I was writing about how, after having given up my hospital job, I was looking for something new to do. And I was kind of writing to the universe. Every now and then, I write this kind of letter to the universe, let it know my intentions. And I was talking about how I was ready to kind of level up and step into a new career, and how I was willing to do something completely different than what I'd done before. And I was laying out some criteria of what I was looking for in a career. It had to be fulfilling, it had to be lucrative, it had to be creative, and most importantly, it had to make the world a better place and be something that I really enjoyed doing. So I set that intention in my journal, and then the next day I got hired to work as a substitute teacher at a high school for a drama class. So I'm teaching this drama class. The students were all on stage rehearsing, and I was up in the lighting booth running the lights. And this is when the second moment of divine intervention hit. There was a phone book sitting there on the counter. I'm kind of aging myself. And I had this thought, again, just out of the blue, to look through the phone book and see if I could find any hypnotherapy training on the island that I live on. Now, I could feel this weird thing happening inside my mind. Remember, I didn't know what hypnotherapy was. I'd seen Ravine a couple times as a kid, but other than that, I had no concept of hypnotherapy. So as my finger was turning the pages in the phone book, a different part of my brain was going, hypno what? What is that? That'll be too expensive. You won't be able to do that. The training will be in Vancouver or, you know, one of the bigger cities far away. And I ended up finding a woman who was to become my teacher. I could practically see her house from my house. She would allow you to pay as you go. You could train on the weekends, so I could still work during the week and make money at my teaching jobs. There was no reason not to take the training. I set up an appointment with her, met her for coffee, and when she started telling me all of the different applications of hypnosis, I felt like I had this moment, you know, the sun breaks through the clouds and angels start singing. I was completely sold. I actually ended up taking her training 2 times in 1 year. So she offered 2 different formats at the time. You could take it 1 weekend a month for a year, or you could take the entire program in 3 weeks in kind of an intensive format. So I started out in the monthly program, and I was a few months in, and I was telling people what I was studying. And people kept saying to me, oh, that's really fascinating. Can you work on me? Can you help me with whatever goal they wanted to achieve? But of course, being pretty new to this profession, I felt I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. And so I went back to my instructor and asked her if I could finish the program with the people who had started with the 3-week intensive. So I ended up jumping into that program and completed it in 2 weeks. And I was completely unprepared to have a practice. I barely had time to read the textbooks, let alone practice and get confidence with the techniques. Now, just as an aside, if you're looking into hypnotherapy training, you want to stay away from something that only offers intensive programs. The reason being, reputable associations now won't actually register people who have taken short-term programs or intensive programs for that exact reason. You don't have time to become effective with the techniques. You don't have time to develop the skill. You don't have time to do the practice required to work on people who are actually paying you for your service. So, bad idea. I ended up going back to my instructor and asking her if I could finish the program with the people that I had originally started with. And so I ended up going back into the monthly program and completing it, and then opened up an office. My practice really took off. I think when you're doing the thing that you're meant to be doing, when you heed the call of the universe, doors begin to open for you. I had only had one birthing client, for example, and I was approached by a local TV station, and I was asked to do a spot on a documentary that was coming out on alternative methods of birthing. And so I took my one client I'd done for birthing, hypnotized her on camera, and then answered a bunch of questions about using hypnosis for childbirth. Around the same time, I reached out to a local radio station, a talk station. I did it all wrong at the time. I asked if they had anybody who did a lifestyle program, that I was a hypnotherapist and people didn't really understand what I did, and is it possible I could be interviewed? Again, not the right approach, and at some point I'll be doing a whole podcast on how to get media exposure. As it turned out, they said yes to my clumsy proposal, and it turned into 52 radio shows over 7 years. I absolutely loved doing the shows. It was a one-hour-long call-in show. I would introduce a topic, and we would talk about that topic for the first half hour or so. But my favorite part was that then the host would open up the phone lines and people would call in and ask questions. I really loved just working on the fly, answering people's questions, working spontaneously. And I also loved the fact that by the time I would get back to my office after doing a show, there would be so many messages on my answering machine from people who had heard the shows that I would have enough clients to last me until the next time I did a show. So I really got fortunate reaching out to that radio station as I did and having it turn into something that gave me such amazing exposure. Now, those radio shows were really good for me for another reason. I couldn't just do 52 radio shows about hypnosis. Nobody wants to sit and listen to me talk about hypnosis for 52 hours, although weirdly, now that's what people pay me to do when I'm training. But that aside, I had to come up with topics for each of the shows. So for example, one show around Christmas time was all about how some people have a really hard time dealing with family and dealing with emotions, how Christmas is a time where a lot of people are depressed, it's a high time for suicide. So I talked about that phenomena and gave people tips and ideas as to how to manage their emotional state, and hypnosis was just one of the options. Now, the point is, because I had to research so many different topics and come up with different things to talk about each time, I really expanded my knowledge about how hypnosis could be used in a variety of different areas. And so that's really benefited me as far as working with my clients, and it's also really benefited me as far as teaching my students. If you throw a question at me, how can you use hypnosis for X, Y, or Z? I've got an answer for you, and I've worked with that client many, many times. And so it's given me a lot of knowledge that I can use now on the podcast or when I'm teaching or working with my clients. Now, I'm also a big studier. I love to read. I'm always taking courses. I'm always reading books. And so I've also studied counseling. I've taken a second level of hypnotherapy training that's made me a registered clinical counseling hypnotherapist. I've studied positive psychology. I went quite down the rabbit hole with that one. I've studied complex trauma, PTSD, trauma itself. Have taken additional training in neuro-linguistic programming, working with anxiety disorders, depression. I've taken training in couples therapy and relationship therapy and sexuality. So there's been a lot of different areas where I've done additional training in. I realize now why I had to become a teacher. When I first started thinking about doing hypnosis, my mom was kind of put off by it. You're going to throw away your university career to do what? But really, taking that training in how to teach helped me lay the foundation to be able to teach hypnotherapy. It's one thing to know how to do hypnosis, but it's quite a different skill set to be able to teach it. In fact, doing hypnosis uses a lot of skills that I've learned in other disciplines or doing other things. For example, I was a theater teacher, as I mentioned earlier, and my forte was improv. I really love doing improv. In fact, I was the director of an improv troupe for a period of time. And one of the things that I really love about teaching and podcasting and working with clients is that working on the fly thing, having an idea and then just kind of going with it. In fact, my favorite part of my classes that I teach is the first hour that I call check-in. This is an opportunity for my students to ask any questions, to, you know, bring up anything that's been on their mind, and that changes at various times in the course. For example, when they start working with clients, they might want help or support or ideas as to how to tackle something that's come up in working with their client. And I absolutely love that portion of the course. I love working on the fly. I love having a question thrown at me and being able to just come up with 5 or 6 different answers to that question. And again, I think that that stems back to all of the training and experience with doing improv. So now I've been doing hypnosis since 1999, and I opened my school in 2004. And my goal for my students is for them to have the skill set and the support necessary that will enable them to have the successful practice they desire. I'm always paying attention to the questions my students ask in class, to the challenges that they have when they're working with clients, the issues that come up when they're trying to market themselves. I'm always thinking about how can I provide them something to deal with this particular challenge. I want to make it as easy for my students to get from having taken training to having a successful practice. I want to get them across that bridge as easily as possible. And that's what I'd like to bring to this podcast as well. I want to give you tips and hints and ideas and scripts and techniques and be able to pull on all these years of experience and practice that I've had as a hypnotherapist, combining it with my ability to teach, to give you some things that you can really use. Whether you're a student of hypnosis or you've been a practitioner for a great length of time, I want to be able to provide you whatever you need so that you can get to that next level, whatever that is for you. So I'm really open to receiving ideas for the podcast. For example, if there's a particular type of client goal that you're not sure how to tackle very well, or you have a question when it comes to working with clients or finding clients, please feel free to send those things my way. I would really appreciate knowing what it is you like in the podcast. What topics get your attention. And so I'll be paying attention to the statistics, but again, I'm open to receiving emails. You can contact me at info@horizoncenterhypnotherapy.com. And if you're interested in finding out more about my training, check out horizoncenterhypnotherapy.com. I do have a free trial that allows you to test drive the first unit of the training on me. All right, that's enough about me. Thank you so much for tuning in. And from now on, dear listener, all of the podcast material will be focused on what I can provide for you. Thanks again, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Okay, take one. With corrections, with Campbell. With Campbell. Campbell. Okay. Get your black belt in all things hypnotherapy and blah, blah, blah.